Greetings, God bless, and welcome to the Beginning and End podcast, the official podcast of the beginningandend.com website. You can find, of course, all the information about the website. We are a website that is dedicated to Christian news, the latest of issues affecting the church, the Nephilim, end time Bible prophecy, many, many topics. You can find hundreds of articles at beginningandend.com. You also find in the show description links to our Facebook page, to our YouTube channel, to all of our social media outlets. And we are here to promote the Word of God and share the gospel with this world. And today we are going to have a devotion. We're doing devotions as a part of our podcasting broadcast. Now we are also going to do some devotions. We have a number of devotions you can find at beginningandend.com, and we just want to share them as well in the audio form and in video in the coming weeks and months and years, Lord willing. So today's devotion is about the shortest prayer in the Bible. And we're going to go right to the scriptures, to Matthew chapter 14, where we find this passage. And it starts in verses 24 and finishes in verses 31. And there we read, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, of course, most of us are familiar with the account of the Lord Jesus Christ walking on water. And this was one of the many displays of the miraculous power of Christ. Jesus used these miracles to establish himself as the prophesied Messiah, the Mashiach, prophesied in the Old Testament. So walking on the surface of these raging storm waters to visit his disciples while their boat was being tossed by the waves. This was a furious storm. The disciples thought they were in dire straits, and here is Jesus walking to them on water. The disciple Peter, who was very often the quickest to respond in a situation, actually requested that Jesus empower him to walk on the water as well, to prove it was truly their beloved master. Jesus honored the request, and Peter, a mere mortal man, was actually walking on the water. But soon fear crept in, and he started sinking into those same rushing waters, whipped into a tempest by violent winds and storm. And at this time, he uttered the shortest prayer in the entire Bible, Lord, save me. In this account, there is so much to be learned about the power of prayer and the awesome power of God. So let's just go over several points. The first is, point one, we are utterly hopeless. And this is a personal application for all of us. Peter was a desperate man in a hopeless situation. There are few scarier moments people experience than the feeling of drowning. The fragile state of human mortality is pronounced when a person is struggling to breathe and stay afloat in harsh waters. Peter knew that on his own, he did not stand a chance of survival. And this, of course, is the truth of the human condition. Because of our sin, we now stand hopeless and utterly powerless against the judgment of God that stands before us. We have willingly and knowingly violated God's commands in thought, word, and deed daily. Despite God warning us that the wages of sin is death, we are warned time and time in Scripture that those who commit sins, whether it is lying, stealing, fornication, adultery, murder, will not inherit the kingdom of God, but yet we continue on because of our sinful nature to rebel against the Lord. What defense can we offer? None. Can we make a case to God that we're really not that bad of a sinner and that we are actually good? No. In the book of Job, the question is posed, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? In other words, saying that it's impossible. We can't justify ourselves. Psalm 130 asks similar questions. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? When God struck 57,000 men of Beth Shemesh dead for stealing the Ark of the Covenant and breaking his command to never look inside of it, they uttered in desperation, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? In the face of God's judgment, we have nothing to grasp onto, hold on, or power on our own to stand and proclaim our goodness. No one can stand before God and say that they've been perfect and righteous in their lives. Because of our sin, we are just as helpless as the drowning disciple Peter. And this, of course, leads us to point two. Prayer acknowledges that God is Lord. Peter opens his three-word prayer by addressing Jesus as Lord. He recognized Jesus Christ not as a teacher, not as some wise sage, a hippie, or some political figure, but as God. Seeing Jesus for who he truly is, God in the flesh, or as scripture says, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is the first step to a right relationship with the Lord. It is a sign of humility before God. King Solomon, the wisest man on earth in his day, said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you want to feel closer to God? Do you want to understand God in the Bible? Start by humbling yourself and acknowledging him as Lord. James chapter 4 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Now, of course, what is it saying that we should be sad all the time, that we should mourn all the time and live a sad life? No, it's identifying the seriousness and the severity of our sin, that when it comes to our sin, we should mourn over it. We should mourn over the fact that we have doomed ourselves because of our sin nature, because of our rebellion against God. So it's saying that when we look at our sin, we have to be somber, sober, and serious about it, and we should mourn it, and we should have heaviness over it. But in that humility, when we do it, when we go on our knees and repent and say, "God, forgive me for my sin, I know I am a sinner," what does it say? That he shall lift you up. He lifts us up. And Peter indeed humbly called upon God, and he was in fact lifted up. Which leads to point three, that God will save us. And remember, in the verse, it says that when Peter said that prayer, "Lord, save me," it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Facing an impossible situation, Peter nevertheless called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to help him. When there was no other option and his life was in the balance, he believed that Jesus could do something to rescue him, even after he disobeyed Jesus. Notice that Jesus told his disciples, "It is I, be of good cheer, be not afraid." And just two verses later, we read of Peter, he was afraid. Directly opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Don't be scared, nothing to worry about." But Peter was scared, extremely scared. We will all stumble. We will all be afraid at times. We will all have doubts in certain moments and challenges. We will all, at some point in our lives, let the troubles, stresses, and pain of this world guide our thinking. We will take our eyes off of Christ and turn them to our circumstances, and we will be afraid. But even after giving into the flesh and putting ourselves in a horrible situation, we can still turn back to God. This is the faith that Christians should hide in their hearts and cling to each day. We are certainly guilty and clearly deserving of hell for a lifetime of sin and iniquity. But Jesus Christ, by his shed blood on the cross, saved us from what was a sure fate. The guilt we have for our sin is replaced with free forgiveness when we trust in Jesus Christ who took God's wrath for us. This same drowning disciple Peter would at a later time write of Jesus, in his own words, Peter writing, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's 1 Peter chapter 19, verse 24. Jesus chose to die for the sins of humanity. He loves humanity, and through his perfect life, death, and resurrection, all who believe are indeed saved. And of course, this passage of Peter drowning finishes, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. In each challenge, when we cry out, we grow closer and more sure in our knowledge and faith. This world is a refinement process. If you are a Christian, we suffer in this life to build our faith and continually rely on Christ until we see him face to face. God is molding us and conforming us to the image of Christ. If we call, Jesus will indeed answer. Peter did not have time to give an impressive speech. He did not use fancy words or impress God with his knowledge. He only uttered three words, Lord, save me, and it was done. The impossible became possible. Death was defeated. The grave would not have another life that day. Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, the Messiah, the Savior, standing on the water, pulled Peter to safety, and then calmed the storm so all his followers on that ship were saved. And so shall he do for you when you humbly cry to your Lord in prayer. Psalm 55:16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. So that's our devotion for today. We hope you enjoyed it. And we will continue this series with just, again, short devotions to really let God's word inspire you, encourage you, and strengthen you for the challenges you face every day. Again, thank you for listening. You can find more information, hundreds of articles at beginningandend.com. Of course, in the show description, you will find links to the website, to our Facebook, to our social media, to our YouTube channel, to this podcast. Please subscribe, share God's word, and let your light, the light of Christ, shine as you go out into this world. God bless you abundantly, and thank you so much for listening.